Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In that shalt thou not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that's within the gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I am the Lord thy God. Honor thy father and thy mother in thy day, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not kill. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not commit adultery. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not steal. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet his neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservants, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you go back with me in the Ten Commandments and notice a specific name of God that we find in the book of Exodus? The book of Exodus in chapter 20, and notice with me in verse number 5, where it says, "For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." Notice the phrase, jealous God. And with this, we're going to study the jealous God, the Elkanah, that is Elkanah, or some people could spell it with a K instead of a Q, Elkanah, Elkanah. The jealous God, or if we would kind of give a little title to that, the God who wants all your worship. The God who wants all your worship. With the Lord's help, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would just give us wisdom and discernment as we study this special name of God, that we can learn more about you. Help us to understand this phrase, this meaning, this name, that we can apply it to our lives, that we could see what a great God that you truly are. Help us now. Give me wisdom. Give me discernment. Give me physical health, mental health. Help me to be able to be used as your instrument tonight, that it would be all about you, and that you can get your own work accomplished through your precious word. Thank you for being a wonderful God, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Out of all the names of God, a lot of people have issue trying to wrap their mind around the idea of a jealous God. And the reason is because of the way of jealousy works in our human nature. Human jealousy is actually based from insecurity or selfishness. But God doesn't have insecurity, and he does not have a selfishness. God is not a jealous God because he is selfish, and God is not a jealous God because he is insecure. That, again, those are human emotions, and again, because those insecurities, because of where it stems from, jealousy is not a good thing for us humans. But for God, it is something different because it comes from a pure motive, that God is the only God and he is worthy of all worship, of all praise, of all glory, of honor. He is worthy of it all and therefore is able to be jealous of all worship because it belongs to him. It does not belong to someone else. But yet the jealousy also goes that he is jealous over his people, and he will protect what is his because they're his. We're going to cover these ideas as we explore more about the jealous God. But let's start with this Ten Commandment here. Here's what we have as what we often refer to this idea of the second commandment. Verse number 4, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Now, that is a very powerful commandment. We'll get more in the explanation in the next verse in just a second. But in this verse, it is very clear that we should not have any graven man-made image of God. Now, this is something that's broken quite a bit. For example, we know that for people like the Roman Catholics, they have pictures of Jesus and God all over the place. There's pictures, murals, it became a very popular thing. We know that it's very popular for people to have an image of Jesus, even though they try to portray him as a hippie, long-haired, milquetoast, weakling type person. And what happens is that when we have these images of Christ, what happens is we end up putting an emphasis on his humanity to the exclusion of his deity. Jesus is God. And there's something about us that we want to have an image of something. We want to have something that reminds us, that shows us, that gives us something. This is why in 40 days' time, remember, God gave the Ten Commandments with his own voice. The people said, Moses, Moses, please, we don't want to hear God's voice again. You go speak to God, and when you come back, you tell us what to do, and we'll do it. Now, God just said, thou shall not make any graven image. Within 40 days, these goofballs go make themselves a golden calf, not by after hearing it from the preacher, but God said, don't do it. 40 days, they disobeyed God's voice. They broke this commandment within 40 days. Why? Why is this such a big deal to God? Notice the next verse, verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself for them, nor serve them. Why? For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Now, why is he jealous? He is jealous because he's the one who did it. Why should he share credit with any image, with any being, with any imaginary, with any little g God when they didn't do a thing? Remember, the people took the golden calf and they said, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. This is the God that parted the Red Sea. It is not. You just made it. And yet they are giving credit to this thing they made with their own hands as if it had power. And that is one of the problems of why God said don't make images. For example, people who know me know that I am not very fond of crosses. You're like, well, what's wrong with a cross? Well, how about this? If I took a cross and took it and said, oh, look how nice it is, and then broke it over my knee, people go, oh, and they'd expect lightning to hit me. And why? Why? Because they attribute there's power to the stick I just broke. They start to say that it has power. This is why a lot of Christians is popular for them to wear a cross necklace. Why? Because it acts as a talisman, a good luck charm. It's if they don't wear it, they feel like they're going to have a bad day because God isn't with them. You said that's silly. Yes, but we all do stuff like that. We all get to the place that if I don't have this representation of God with me. Remember, God is not in a thing. The children of Israel had a problem with this later on. Remember, they had the Ark of the Covenant and they were fighting against the Philistines and said, I know, let's beat the Philistines by bringing the Ark of the Covenant with us. But the God was not in the Ark of the Covenant. Now he protected it because it was his, but God was not in the Ark of the Covenant. They could have just talked to God right then and there. When people have representations of heaven and earth, they have a talisman. For example, people like prayer beads. And they said, I can't talk to God unless I have the prayer beads. Then something's wrong. Because we don't need a telephone, a medium. We don't need any type of device to get a hold of God. We just talk to him. God is a jealous God, meaning that he deserves all worthiness, all honor, all glory, all praise, and he will not share it with any other. Therefore, he is very just to say, I am a jealous God. Don't give something that belongs to me to something else. Because they didn't do it, I did. Now, in that case, it's very pure motives, and God is justified for saying that. I'm a jealous God. I am jealous when you give praise that belongs to me and gives it to someone else. Now, we can understand that. My wife has love that belongs to her, that comes from me. If I give that love to someone else, doesn't she have every right to be jealous? That's mine. Why are you giving it to someone it doesn't belong to? Well, we can understand that in human perspective. For God's perspective, it belongs to me and it doesn't belong to anyone else. So much that God gave us a Ten Commandment, and he also gave warnings. Notice in verse 5. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. You mean if I use an object to worship God, I am hating God? Yes. You understand there's a lot of emotions that's now tied into that, but it carries the idea that you said, I trust this talisman, this object, more than God. I'm giving praise to this rather than giving it the one I belong to. Well, in that case, we could understand the hate. If I took love and affection that belonged to my wife and gave it to someone else, wouldn't she feel like I hated her? Well, you said that's a human emotion. Yeah. But again, it doesn't belong to anyone else. It belongs to God. And you chose to give it to someone else it didn't belong to. There had to be an emotional response in order for you to do that. Notice it goes on in verse 6 though. And showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. For those that give praise and honor, God says, because I'm a jealous God, I also are not going to let anything happen to you. I'm going to protect you because you're mine. I'm jealous over you because you're mine. And I'm not letting anyone else have you or affect you. I'm going to watch over you. So that's all introduction. Let's cover into this a little bit more as we dive. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in the book of Exodus chapter 34. Now, as you're turning to Exodus 34, let's kind of cover the meaning of divine jealousy. The meaning of divine jealousy. The God's name here, the jealous God, speaks of God's holy desire for exclusive worship. When the Bible says that God is jealous, it is, again, not because of a human emotion of insecurity or pride. It's because he's a holy God, and he alone is worthy of worship. He is worthy of honor. He is holy. His jealousy means that he's deeply concerned with defending his holy name. There's only one name like this, the name of Jesus, and he has every desire to protect his name, to protect how people see him. He will not allow his glory to be given to another or his name to be dishonored. The jealousy also reveals his watchfulness over the hearts of his people. God desires exclusive devotion, and he's grieved when people turn their worship to anything else. God is a covenant-keeping God who loves us and protects us and expects for us to respond to him. He's a good God. He protected me. He's the one that gave it to me. I can trust in him. Now, let's cover the history between Israel and the jealous God. So, right here at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, God gave them, don't have any other idols, worship belongs to me. Look with me, if you don't mind, in Exodus 34. Exodus 34, notice with me specifically in verse number 14. As God is continuing to explain the Ten Commandments now, chapter 34, verse 14. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. For those of you who were double checking something, there you go. His name is jealous. for he is a jealous God. Now, God is saying, this is my name. Why? Because everything I did, it was me that did this. Now, this was his relationship with the people, is that the children of Israel continued to wander away from serving God. They continue to give credit to other people, to other beings, to little g gods. And yet it was God that did the work, God that protected them. And this chapter in Exodus 34, God is commanding them that when they get to the new land, they are to destroy the idols, the altars, the of the inhabitants, and to make no alliances with the people. He warned them in this chapter that if they compromised, they would find themselves ensnared into idolatry. He said plainly, thou shalt not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. His people were to believe wholly that Moses, this was to believe so much that Moses echoed this back in Deuteronomy chapter number 4, saying that God's jealousy was not something to be taken lightly. If they turned to other gods, God would be provoked to anger, his righteous anger, and bring judgment upon them. And they warned them and warned them and warned them. And yet they would find over and over that the people would turn away from God. So they get to the promised land, they conquer the land, and immediately the people started to serve other gods. And because they serve other gods, God brought the judgment upon them to try to get their attention back. And they would go back and they would say, God, please help us, please help us. God would help them, and then they would go back and say, oh, listen, these other gods, let's start serving this god here, these other gods here. Now, remember before, I've explained in this series the idea of polytheism. Poly means many. Theism carries the idea of gods. Polytheism is the belief in many gods. And the idea in the ancient world for polytheism is that one god was not enough. And so they would turn to the little g gods who were regulated to a specific area. So they would have Baal, the god of thunder, the god of the storms. Your only job is to make sure the rains fall. That's what we're trusting you to do. We could pray to you that you could do this one job, because they didn't believe that one god was enough to take care of everything. They would go to Ashtaroth or Ishtar, where we get the name Easter, Venus, Aphrodite, whatever she's called by and through history. You are the fertility goddess. Whenever we need to have a baby, whenever we need spring, a new life, we pray to you. They would pray to a moon god. They would pray to a sun god. They would pray to this and pray to that. And again, their idea is that one god was not enough. So we have to break it down to the various gods and talk to that god. So this is what God was trying to keep from happening. He says, I am a big enough God to take care of all of your problems. I am a big enough God to take care of anything you face. Why do you need to go to a different god when I am everything? You don't have to go to this god and this god and this god. I am enough. This is why God said, I don't want to share my glory to another, because once you start doing that, you start taking more and more away from God. This is why it's always important to give credit to God for what he's doing, to give praise to God for what he's doing. It's also why we need to be careful for doing things like giving credit to Satan when it was God that was doing things. So often we blame Satan for problems when it was God that's allowing things to happen to get your attention. And we give Satan so much credit that we take it away from God. This is such an easy thing to do, because we don't want to keep looking at how great God is and how wonderful God is and how we could take care of every little thing within our life. God is trustworthy. So the children of Israel over and over and over would have this problem. Turn with me to Psalm 78 as it kind of gives this account. Again, this is the major theme of God's relationship with the people inside of the Old Testament, is they continued over and over and over to turn to other gods rather than trusting the God of heaven. And God says, I'm a jealous God, not because I'm sinful, not because of pride, but because I'm worthy of it all. Why do you give what is mine to something else? No wonder God would get angry. No wonder the Bible would use the word they provoked him to anger. That word provoke carries a picture of taking a stick and poking someone with it. Poke, 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 poke. After a while, anyone would get aggravated. Anyone would get mad. And so whenever we say, God, you didn't do this, he did this. Let's poke, poke. You know what? Thank you, Allah, for all that you do. Poke, poke. Thank you, Buddha, for everything you do. Poke, poke. Thank you, me, for how great I am. Poke, poke. Thank you, government, for supplying all my needs. Poke, poke. And after a while, God says, I'm tired of you poking me. I'm tired of you aggravating me like I don't, am not who I am. I'm a great God. Why do you keep giving credit to someone else and to something else when I'm the one who did it? We can understand why God would be upset and be a jealous God who would very much protect his holy name, because he is worthy of all glory, not just some, not just most, all glory, all honor, all praise. God is worthy of it all. Psalm 78, it's a longer psalm. We're not going to read all of it, but let's just look at a couple of it. Start at verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he hath established a testimony in Jacob and hath appointed a law in Israel, which he will command, commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which are to be born, who shall arise and declare them to their children, that they might set up their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation not set their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast for God. Verse 17, and they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. Verse number 22, because they believed not in God nor trusted in his salvation. In verse number 32, in all this they sin still and believe not for his wondrous works. Again, this is going through the wilderness wanderings and giving the account of how they refuse to give credit to God and they refuse to trust in him and depend upon him. And over, this is the big theme throughout the Old Testament. God is worthy of worship, but they would not give him his worship. They continue to give it to other people. And it kept provoking God and provoking God and provoking God until he had enough. Now, a lot of times people will say, well, that Old Testament, that's just nothing but God's wrath and judgment. By the way, God is a loving God. And all throughout the Old Testament, God showed his loving care. Yeah. He showed his mercy. He showed that those are my people and I will protect them because I'm jealous over my people. But do you know that this is also mentioned in the New Testament, that God is a jealous God? Let's just look. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in the book of 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians in chapter number 10. First Corinthians chapter number 10. God is warning them about a divided allegiance. Notice with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 14. 1 Corinthians 10, 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. What is idolatry? It's worshiping something other than God. Verse number 15. I speak as to a wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not communion with the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion with the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are they not they which eat the sacrifices, partaker of the altar? What say I then? that the idol is anything, or that which is offered to in sacrifice to idols is anything. But I say unto the things which are sacrificed, which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with the devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we not provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Now, the specific context is that people in the Roman world, they would have all these different temples set up to these false gods. And what would happen is that people would bring in their meat and sacrifice it, give it to these local temples. Well, what would happen is the local temples would say, thank you so much for this. Thank you for giving to Zeus, to Apollo, to whatever else. Then what they go, well, this god can't eat this. And, you know, we've got our fill. What are we going to do with this leftover meat? I know. So they go to the back door into the alley and say, hey, guess what? We got extra meat for sale. And so people would go, guess what? I'm going to go to that backdoor market, the aftermarket, the twice used meat sale, and they have cheaper meat. Do I go to this meat market over there where it's expensive? Or do I go use, it's still good meat, but I'm going to go use this one over here. The problem was with this meat, we know it's just meat, but it was already dedicated to an idol. It was dedicated saying, this is Zeus's meat. Zeus is great. Zeus is grand. Oh, praise Zeus. And this meat was used to celebrate that. And then if you were to buy this meat that was dedicated to Zeus, now Paul recognizes, listen, it's just meat. But because you are purposely knowing buying something that was dedicated to another god, you are participating in what was already there. And God says, and Paul said, no, God's a jealous God. Either God is great or someone else is. You got to pick. And your testimony, your conscience, you are choosing, are you going to worship God or not? And again, this was a big deal. We know that Jesus Christ in this practiced this. You said, Jesus? Yes. Twice. Early in his ministry and later in his ministry, he went into the temple and chased off the money changers through the tables and cleansed house and said, is not my house to be a house of prayer? Why did he do that? He was a jealous God. He said, this is my house. Why are you bringing your filth and your money and your sacrifices to my house? Was Jesus right in doing that? Absolutely, because he was a jealous God. He said, this is my house. Don't bring this to my house. This is not what it was designed for. My house should be a house of prayer and in righteous anger and jealousy because worship belonged to him and people were no longer worshiping God because of this. They were going through the motions and taking away it. Again, it was not an outburst of a human temper, but a display of holy zeal. The temple was the place where God's glory dwelt, and Jesus would not allow that place to be defiled. His jealousy was for the purity of worship, that God alone would receive the honor due to his name, that God is worthy of all honor. Now, as we said before, the other end of it is that God is protective over his people. We see the restoration and protection of a jealous God. The restoration and the protection of a jealous God. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in the Minor Prophets, the book of Zechariah. Now, he alluded to this inside of the Ten Commandments, that God said that he was going to protect those, watch over those, care for those who loved him, who kept his name, was the implication. Notice with me in Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah chapter 1, and notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 14. God protects what is his. Now, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're one of his. And God wants to protect and guard you too. Isn't that a blessing? God's people, Israel. Today, the Hebrew people may be far away from God, but they're still His, and He will protect them. And I'm thankful that we could watch evidence of that even today, that God has protected His people. Notice with me, if you don't mind, Zechariah chapter 1, verse 14. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. God says, I want and love my people. I want to protect them. God's jealousy did not end with judgment. It also compelled him to restore them. And that was the great promise. Notice with me, if you don't mind, Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8 and verse number 2. Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with a great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. God says, these are my people. I'm going to watch over them. I'm going to protect them. They're mine to deal with, and I will not allow people to wipe them out. That is my job to take care of, my job to correct them, my job to deal with it. By the way, we can understand that. If someone wants to get after my children that have no business getting after my children, I'm going to have some problems with it, right? As a shepherd of this flock, if someone starts messing with you guys that have no business doing with that, I'm going to have a problem with it. God is just watch over. It's mine. They're my people. My job to protect care of them. You can't have them. You can't mess with them. They're mine. Now, we're thankful that we could be considered His. And He will guard us with a great jealousy. On our end, we need to be giving all of our love and devotion, praise and honor and glory to Him above who gives everything. We need to be a thankful people. We need to be a people that make sure that we on purpose. You know, when it comes down, if we're going to be practical, we can be practical by the idea of thankfulness. Does God get all your glory and honor and praise? Does God get your praise and honor when good things are going well? Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the great house you allowed me to be in. Thank you for the car that still runs. Thank you for allowing me to have a church to go to. Are you able to be thankful to God when things aren't going well? Lord, I know that you're still in charge and you got a plan. I could trust you in this. I could trust you in this. Lord, I'm thankful that you love me enough. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I trust you're doing something and I trust you have a plan in this. God is worthy of all of our worship, all of our glory, all of our praise in the good times and the bad times, in sickness and health. We could trust in Him. Does He receive your thanks? Does He receive your glory? Does He receive your worship? God, you are still great, even though I had a bad day. Lord, you are still worthy, even though things are falling apart. Lord, you're still in charge, even when I feel like I'm no longer in control. I can trust in you. Why is God considered a jealous God? Because He is worthy of all worship. And we need to respond to Him in kind. So how has your thankfulness been lately? If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would just help us to respond properly to you, that you are a big God. You're a God who loves us. You're a God in control. You're the God of the heavens. You're the God who created everything. You're the God who sees me. You're the God who guards every step I take. You're the God who allows things in my life for my good and benefit, for your glory and your honor, and we can trust you. Help us, Lord, for not being a thankful people. Help us to be a type of people that are quick to give you praise and honor for everything that is good and not to give the glory and honor and worship to something or someone else. Help us to be conscious of how great and big you are. Lord, tonight, let us be practical. Let us just look and see, have we been a thankful people? And if not, maybe we need to start tonight and be specifically thankful for things that have happened, both good and bad, that you get all the glory and that you get all the honor, God. Help us even now. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you wouldn't mind to stand to your feet.
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.